Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I mentioned this morning that I'd like to talk to you about actually a question to ask you. How's your asking? Each of us, there's hardly a day that goes by without us asking the Lord something. Even if it's immediately after our good morning, Lord, immediately following that will be something that I ask. And He loves hearing us talk to Him. And I want to speak to you tonight about God. I almost want to say God opening Himself up to something that He may not be able to manage. When He says to Saul, now King Saul, after his father died, in 1 Kings 3 verse 5, you know it well. It says, at Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said to him, ask what I shall give you. And when I read it, I thought, my, this is really, Lord, you're opening yourself up here to something that you may not get out of again. And I looked at the other translations and just thought, okay, it's not the same in the other translation. Then I go into the English Standard and it says, ask what I shall give you. And then I went to the Message and it said, what can I give you? Just ask me. And the New International Version says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now it's becoming more clear that God means what He says here. And the NIV application, He says, ask for whatever you want me to give you and I'll give it to you. New Living Translation says, what do you want? Just ask and I'll give it to you. Now I'm almost convinced. And for me, I just wondered for a moment, you know, is God sincere about this and saying, listen, just ask me and I'll give you. Now, if we say that to our children, there would be a proviso somewhere. Because it depends on their asking. Because if they dare to ask something which we know will be dangerous, they won't handle it, then He probably will say, I'm sorry that I allowed you to ask me. But here, there's no proviso. Maybe, just maybe, that's what I thought, just maybe, the fact that it is a dream, you know, Solomon could wake up and say, well, it was just a dream. And God could escape and say, Solomon, it was a dream, man. How often do you have dreams? So this is one of them that you have. It's just a good one that, you know, excited you. But it wasn't. It was a sincere offer to this man, a human being. Just a human, and listen, no innocent human being. Because you would know that what some of his things were, even when he was, before he became king, and once he became king, you know, he had no hesitation of saying, okay, take him out, in modern language. In those times, listen, kill him. Because he did this and did that. And in a short while, even before this happened, he did a few killings. He had the power, he has become king. And here comes God, knowing that he has done a few things that he wouldn't agree with. And he asks him and he says to him, just ask what I shall give you and I will give it to you. What a lavish, bountiful gesture that God gives to an ordinary human being. And then we find Solomon's remarkable response, which I want to talk about. And then we see God's response to Solomon's request. Now, I said this is a mere human being, and he could ask. I mean, if God had to come to me tomorrow and say that to me, dream or no dream, I would have a few things to ask. You know, some good things, but then again, some that may not be so good. But how could God trust, you know, a human being like that? Maybe he could wake up and realize it's just a dream. He could think of himself that, listen, it can't be true because I have a few things that God knows about. Number one, as far as he was concerned, this was a man that was offerings on those high places. This was a man who was a violent man. This was a man who took Pharaoh's daughter as a wife, which was not kosher to do. And here God comes with all of these things counting against him and then say to him, just ask it, man. Just talk to me and ask, and I'll give it to you. And I think what I would be thinking of asking, what would you be thinking of asking if tonight you have a dream like that and it seems so real and you're convinced that it's real? Can you just think of what you would ask? Anything to solve all your problems and anything never to have any shortage of cash. Your bank balance will, from there, I mean, it will just grow, because that's one thing that we all need from time to time. What can you do with some things that come to mind immediately? What about the neighbor next to you, you know, staying next to you? God, just could they be moved to live somewhere else? You know, there are so many things that you could think as a human being that you can say, God, please, this is my shortcoming. This is my pain that I still have in the flesh. I'm not where I need to be. So help me to get rid of some of the people at work. There's different things that we could think of. But here, it says Solomon, in spite of everything that he has done, it says Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father. As if he had not done wrong in all of the other things, God commends him in the verse 3 and says that Solomon loved the Lord and walked in its statutes. Secondly, there was a commitment made by God to his father David. And God honors what he promises. Even this man who comes, and if it is there where he puts down that offering, this is a man that doesn't tip God. 1,000 burnt offerings he puts down there when it's time for the offering. Which shows that, yes, his father loved the Lord. He loved the Lord, Jesus says. And this is a man that loves the Lord with what he has and give. He's a great giver. Where God sows plentiful into the lives, he also expects plentiful. And that was the case with Solomon. Amidst all of these things, the question still stands. What will happen if he wakes up that morning after the dream and suddenly find out it's real? It's real. And in the dream, what was my answer? Can I remember what my answer to God was? What did I ask for, I wonder? And probably it came to him what he asked for. And of course, we all know it, that he showed tremendous humility. And he said to the Lord, in verse 7, he says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a child and do not know how to carry out your duties." Well, he was around about 18 years old, so not much further than a child. And he says, "I am a servant," he says. "I have a job to do, a calling to fulfill." Verse 10, he says, "Because of what you have asked, I have done according to your asking." And then it goes on, and it says, firstly, that his asking pleased the Lord. And that's where I want to concentrate on. That through everything that he heard, however he understood it, it became clear that God meant business and that God was sincere and that God was willing to do and give just what he asks. God opened himself up. He cannot turn it back. He's got to honor his word. So here this man has all the opportunity to ask, whether it pleases God or not. God has not given conditions. He just said, "You ask. And when you finish asking, I will deliver." And then the Lord says that, and the Bible teaches us that his asking pleased God. And when I first read this, I examined myself as best I could to ask the Lord, "Lord, how many times have I asked?" And I wonder how many of those askings has pleased you. Some maybe have, others with ulterior motives. But if he measures my asking by accepting a pleasing, to pleasing God with my asking, because most of us really, not you, I mean me, you know, and other people. We ask what would please us. We think that the whole reason of asking is because, "Lord, you offer me, so I'll ask. So I'm not going to ask for you, Lord. I'm going to ask for me. And I have a few ideas and I have a few needs. And there's a few things that I want to do, a few places I want to go to. So I'm asking that which will please me." And I know there's many scriptures. I haven't got the time to go into them all. I just read some of them this afternoon. That the Bible speaks, "Ask and it shall be given to you." You know? And it almost seems as if it's similar to the request or the offer to Solomon. But it sounded to me such a wonderful thing when the Bible says that his asking pleased the Lord. And then I want to ask myself how many and how much of my asking is for my own gain and how much of my asking is to fulfill the purpose that he has for my life. And Solomon came and he said to the Lord, "I have a job to do. You've called me as king. And I need the things that I will require to fulfill that which I have been called to do. It's amazing that if we ask according to that which pleases God and that which serves the purpose of fulfilling that which He has called me, He takes care of the rest. It's almost as if I don't have to ask for myself, I just ask for Him and the rest comes my way. Because it's Him first. Why am I here on earth? Why has He called me? Why has He blessed me with the gifts and the talents that I have? Why has He spared me? Why have He put me here? Why have He helped me through my education? Why have He brought me this far? There must be a reason why He does it. I really felt I sang that song before. But tonight was something special singing it. And I couldn't hold back my tears. What's the words of not being afraid? I'm no longer a slave to fear. And when I sang that, I felt the presence of the Lord so here. And I could say from my heart, Lord, you know, I'm not a slave to fear. I've known fear. And I've been to places where I should have feared. I can tell you places I've been to that will, you know, make you feel creepy. But God has been so good before that and brought me through that I have no reason to doubt that He will change. That He will take me through. In so many places in Africa, in the Congo, the in and out going into the Congo with those small little planes that are not instrument rated. So when you go and you fly through the clouds, then you've got to fly around the clouds or over the clouds or under the clouds. And every little wind almost topples it over. And then you come to the place in Lubumbashi. There in the middle of nowhere, if you ask me where. And there will be nobody at the airport to collect you. There are no transport or so now. You tell your pilot, okay, there's the mission station. Drive over there. And then you rev the engine of the plane twice. And he comes out and he waves. And that means he's going to the airport now. So he's, and now you can go land. And then when you finish landing, you invite the guy who's going to watch your plane because you're leaving tomorrow, and you ask him, please, I know you're going to steal the fuel, but don't steal all the fuel because there's no fuel here to fill up. Now, it's not as if you tell him to steal. You know he's going to steal. So just don't steal all the fuel. Just so that we can get just across the border so that we can there fill up again to go further. And the one time, he did steal a little bit too much. And we just across, okay, we can make it. And then we got the word that there is no fuel there. We got to get through to Lusaka. And we got to fill up with fuel there. And we're coming close and we're coming close. And we're looking at the needle and we're looking at the needle. And all of a sudden we... And the pilot is nervous, and I wish I knew that song. I could have sung it for him that time. That time I didn't know it. And just as we come near Lusaka, and we ready to go down, and we get a call, there's a VIP departure, please circle. Oh my, you can't tell them that you have no fuel in there, because then you're in trouble. Because you must have more, so if you can't land there, that you can go to the next airport. Now, we got nothing. The guy stole too much. So we circle in there, and the pilot is praying. The pilot is praying. He's the owner of the plane, and I'm sitting next to him. And Then we saw, okay, there, that's the VIP departure. It's all the cars taking it to there. And as we see the takeoff, we're not even waiting for the wall. And down we go. And just as we touch the ground, boop, 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 just a few feet higher, we would be dead. Why am I saying this? I am so amazed that I smiled and laughed at him, not having fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I didn't sing it. I didn't know the song. But now I realize when I sang it here and I thought of so many stories like that all over where God has just brought me and others from point A to B in one piece, which is absolutely a miracle. I have no doubt in my mind anymore that God is, as I said this morning, everything that he says he is. I have no reason to doubt him because he has proved himself over and over and over. And here God finds a man, not perfect, has shortcomings, but when God gives him the offer to ask, as he gives to us, he turns around to God and he gives a call. Firstly, a request that pleases God. And I tell you, it really matters much when our requests pleases God. It means so much. We can think of all the other prayers that are the sort of add-ons later. But let our major important prayers, let that be pleasing to God. And then he says to the Lord, he says, Lord, I have a job to do. In other words, he's saying to the Lord, I have a purpose here. I have a reason for being here. I'm not filling a place on earth. I'm not dropped down here simply because you run short or your mother forgot something. So that's why you were a baby there. No. It's actually meant for you to be here. And when he decided that you should be here, it's always for a purpose. God doesn't drop any one of us on earth simply because there's one short in Australia. So I got to fill up that space. Every single one, young and old, has a plan, has a purpose for why we are here. Why am I saying that? It's because we got to regulate our asking. You can get the jam on later. But what is needed is those kind of askings to fulfill the plan and purpose of God through my and your life. I'm your servant, he says. I have a job to do. I have a calling to fulfill. And that's why I am asking the things that I'm asking. Firstly, God does according to your asking. Secondly, he provides what you haven't asked for. When he said, Lord, I need something so that I can fulfill my purpose, God gave him what he needed for his purpose, but God had some add-ons. He gave him what he asked. And then the Lord said, well, you know, you asked too few, let me add this too. Because the asking pleased God. God was, you know, it's almost like, you know, your children that you brought up, or if you're young enough to only be a child, no children here, all of us, no children, our sister children or auntie's children or what. And we marvel ourselves how we deal with our children. I always thought I'm a toughie. And out there in the world, I'm a toughie. Bring it on. Any problem, bring it on. I can take it. But in the house, My wife has always tried to convince me I must be more tough with the children. I can't. I can be tough outside. Put me into the ring with the politicians and I can fight there. But don't tell me to argue with the children, especially not with your grandchildren. And more especially not with your great-grandchildren, because they're faultless. They don't make mistakes. And if their mom comes to complain, you say, don't be silly, you were worse than that. We find it hard. They ask for one thing, we give them another. We give them more than they ask. And even when they don't ask, we surprise them with something. How much more our Heavenly Father? But if my little great-grandson, the one, the smallest one, is only a year and a half, if he comes to me and say, Papa, please a knife. I say, no. One day you can handle a knife. Let me, what do you want to cut? I'll cut it for you, boy. You know, because you can't handle the knife now. But I can. I watch you how you do the knife. I said, yes, you watch. It's easier to watch. So keep on watching if I slice instead of you slicing. And we are people here. How much more our Heavenly Father is keen and eager to get us that which we ask for. But then again, we grow up as children. And as we grow up, we want to be disciplined children. We get knives. It's there. But now we want to make sure that we handle it properly. We've now learned to handle that knife, what it is, and handle it properly. And if we now ask for a knife, he gives it because we can handle it. Some things we ask even before we're able to handle it in our lives. And we ask for things that will just be damaging. You say, but it wasn't for that person. No, no, no. That person has learned how to handle that knife. Maybe you haven't. But God wants to be pleased with our asking. Then he comes and he gives what you ask, and then he gives even more than you ask. Solomon asked of the Lord, and he asked for the things that he needed, wisdom. And there's wealth given to him because he needs it. And then God goes on and he said to him also, long life. The first two, no conditions. The third one, a condition. That he walks with the Lord. And that's the one that he didn't fulfill. I think he died at around about 54 or so. Simply because he abused some. Two he fulfilled. A wise man, a great man, did great things for God. Pleased God with his asking. But when he got three, God gives him the extra. And the extra he messes up. And of course, I think anyone would mess up if you go as far as he did. I mean, what would you really want to do with 700 wives? And 300 concubines. That's a lot of wives. It's 1,000. My. Some of us men manage even tough with one, man. What do you want to do? 300 plus 700. And the Bible teaches us that the concubines led him astray. They turned his heart after the gods, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, and every mite that he saw, he went after. How is it that a man that have pleased God in so much of his asking will then squander that which God blesses him with? Which says to me, it doesn't stop by the asking. Because if I've asked and it pleased God and God gives to me, then I want to remember that what I got it for, who I got it from, I want to remember and keep on pleasing God with what He gives me and not lose track. Our walk with the Lord is not a simple quick jump. It's a long run. It's a journey. And if God blesses us with our asking, and we please Him with our asking, then we've got to know that it's not just for now and tomorrow that we forget why it is. There's always the purpose for which you are here and the purpose for which He meets that need that are there. And I know the journey can sometimes be long and it can sometimes have uphills. But people, there are no downhills without uphills. There wouldn't be a downhill if there wasn't an uphill. Because every single downhill has an uphill, and every uphill has a downhill. And boy, the people in this town knows it. I mean, I was out yesterday. I mean, we were like this, you know. The beauty is every time you come up, you see a new horizon and you see how lovely it is, and down you go again, you see nothing. Those days are also there. When you don't see anything, you're in the dip. I preached a sermon just 2 weeks ago, getting through what you're going through. Because so many of us say that word, I don't know if it's in Australia too, I'm just getting through something. So do they say it here sometimes? I'm going through something now. And we don't realize we're actually prophesying. Because we're saying, I'm going through. You're not saying, I'm going to the problem. You're saying, I'm going through the problem. The thing that hinders me now, the problem that I have now, I'm going through. And it's not a bad, it's not a sort of acknowledgement of failure or so. I'm actually expressing faith and saying, I am getting through what I'm going through. And that is why our faithfulness in pleasing God, what they are asking, must be linked always as we go forward to know that He is going to sometimes allow the uphills in our lives because He wants us to enjoy the downhill. Now, in the days before I could have a car, I traveled by bicycle across the mountains to Hout Bay, to places across in a place called Fishhook, and went to go preach there with the bicycle. Most time it broke, and then I got to push it. And many times I cried in the rain and wish when the other cars come by that I also have a bicycle. And I would sometimes, with my tears running, mixing with the rain, say to the Lord, I'm working for you so hard. You know, have a pity party. I'm working so hard. And it's already 3-4 years that I'm working for you now, and I'm still with the bicycle, and the others are driving cars and mopeds and ever. And eventually, after a number of years, I got a moped. You know what a moped is? Just that one little push, and there it goes. And now I can go further and go more times a week to go and work there in the bushes to go in and work for the Lord. And I've hardly had it a week, and then it stuck with me in the mountain. And now the bicycle would have been much easier to push than to push that moped. I love the downhills with a moped. I wish I had a bicycle now because I could just walk with it. Now I have to push it in the rain. He does spoil us from time to time. He does give us the downhills, but we are getting through what we're going through. So when we do our asking, Let us seek at all times to please him with our asking first. Because if we please him with our asking, he gives us what we ask for and he adds on. And say, you ask these two, I'll give you three. But it's to use and not to abuse. What do we do with our children if they look after the one, two things that we give them? And they look, man, we just want to give them more. They didn't even ask. The last afternoon before I head to the airport, I said, I want to make a turn. Still by two houses of my grandchildren, and they got little ones, and I first stop at the shop, and I get all kinds of things, and I'm with the packets, I'm on my way to do deliveries, you know, and I go load it off, and the mothers are there and say, Grandpa, what are you still doing here? It's airport time. I said, yes, but before I go, I got to come and give something to the little ones here. What have you brought? I said, well, and then the one grabs what I have. Pa has brought chippies. And when he gives the chippies and he enjoys it so that I say, yeah, I've also brought pancakes for you. Because he so enjoyed that, I added to what he enjoyed. If he stood there and pulled his face and said, Pa, I don't like chippies, I'll put the others in my pocket and I go away. Our Heavenly Father, you think I'm perhaps talking too flimsy about things like this, but I know my Heavenly Father. I've known him for how many years? 63 years, okay. Long enough. Long enough, yeah. 63 years, and I know that I know that I know that he does give what you ask. But he'll never harm you with his giving. He will build you with his giving. He will encourage you with his giving. He will take you by the hand with his giving. His giving will bless you if you bless him. His giving will always strengthen you if you use that strength for his purpose. His giving will give to you the talent if you will use that talent for his purpose. And I'm saying to you that you got to ensure, you and I, that we are not reckless with our asking, but that we are pleasing with our asking. Because as he does with Solomon, I've cut short because the clock is ticking. We got to make sure that our asking pleased God. May God help us as we walk this journey, that we feel that we need of him, that we always not only think about what we need, but think about why we need what we need. To assess whether it is something that I'm asking, which will, number one, please him, and number two, will fulfill the purpose of that which you can carry out the purpose of God. I ask you, how's your asking? How have your asking been? How much of your asking has resulted in joy, victory, overcoming? I know you can all say amen, but you're not Pentecostals. I know you can all say amen to that. It is that God has supplied many of your needs. In these latter years of mine, I have believed that God has called me to be an encourager, even more than a soul winner, which I have always enjoyed being. But just simply to encourage people and say, God knows you better than you know yourself. Whatever you're going through, whether it is in marriage, in home, at work, wherever it is, remember he knows and he's getting you through what you're going through because your asking pleases him. And when your asking pleases God, he delights in giving you what you ask, just as we delight in giving to our children when they ask. And my prayer is to all of you who are until today strangers to me, I pray God's blessing on your life. I pray God's blessing on the purpose that He has for you on your life. And I pray that God would use this simple little talk tonight, that you would watch your asking and keep your asking in line with His principles and values and His purposes, and He will do the add-ons to more than what you ask. I'm going to, before I sit down, because I think I still got one and a quarter minutes, I want to pray for you if you feel that there's something that you would like prayer for, so that you can walk this walk, asking God, believing that whatever you may be going through, you'll get through, because you are pleasing God, or want to please God with your asking. If you want to do that, and you want me to pray for you, I'm not going to call you forward. I'm going to pray for you just where you're standing. I would be delighted to do so. There's no bells or whistles or music that will come. You can just stand if you want to. Otherwise, if you're all happy where you are, God bless you. You are people that's already through and not still going through. Bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We are Your children. And we say to You, Lord, that we love You. We really love You. But right now, Lord, each one that is standing at this moment while I'm praying is pointing towards what and why they are standing. In their mind, they are pointing to You now, putting their hand there and saying, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need to accomplish. This is where I want to be. They're not speaking it out, but they're saying it to You. And I pray right now that You would listen to their call. And I pray, Lord, that You would lend an ear to each and every one standing, because You know why they are standing, what they may be going through, or what they want to accomplish, or where they want to be in life, and perhaps not there yet. I pray that this night would be special to them, that it will be special in this sense, that this is the night that You will meet that special need, that this is the night that they will remember this date, that You have conquered their fears, You have delivered their need, You have answered their prayer, You have taken them from where they are to where they need to be, because they lifted up their requests and their prayers to You tonight. So I pray Your blessing upon their lives, upon their families, and I pray, Lord, that they will be ever aware of every step that You're taking them from tonight to get them through what they're going through. And that they will not, when they come out on the other side, forget that You should get all the glory and all the honor. And tonight we begin to say thank You. Thank You for walking with them, taking them through, Lord, bringing them out on the other side wiser, stronger, ready to work for You and answer Your call. Your blessing upon everyone here, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.